Chapter 16. Hunters 3. Nynaeve's room was considerably larger than the novice rooms. She had a real bed, not one built into the wall, two ladder-back armchairs instead of a stool, and a wardrobe for her clothes. The furnishings were all plain, suitable for a middling successful farmer's house, but compared to the novices, the accepted lived in luxury. There was even a small rug, woven with scrolls of yellow and red on blue. The room was not empty when Egwene and Nynaeve entered. Elaine stood in front of the fireplace, arms crossed beneath her breasts and eyes red at least partly from anger. Two tall young men sprawled in the chairs, all arms and legs. One, with his dark green coat undone to show a snowy shirt, shared Elaine's blue eyes and red-gold hair, and his grinning face marked him plainly as her brother. The other, Nynaeve's age, and with his grey coat neatly buttoned, was slender and dark of hair and eye. He rose, all sure confidence and lithely muscled grace, when Egwene and Nynaeve came in. He was, Egwene thought, not for the first time, the most handsome man she had ever seen. His name was Galad. "It is good to see you again," he said, taking her hand. "I have worried much over you. We have worried much." Her pulse quickened, and she took back her hand before he should feel it. "Thank you, Galad," he murmured. "Light, but he's beautiful." She told herself to stop thinking that way. It was not easy. She found herself smoothing her dress, wishing he were seeing her in silk, instead of this plain white wool, perhaps even one of those Damani dresses men had told her of, the ones that clung and seemed so thin you thought they must be transparent, even though they were not. She flushed furiously and banished the image from her mind, willed him to look away from her face. It did not help that half the women in the tower, from scullery maids to Aes Sedai themselves, looked at him as if they had the same thoughts. It did not help that his smile seemed for her alone. In fact, his smile made it worse. "Light, if he even suspected what I was thinking, I'd die." The golden-haired young man leaned forward in his chair. "The question is, where have you been? Elaine dodges my questions as if she has a pocket full of figs and doesn't want me to have any." "I have told you, Gawain," Elaine said in a tight voice. "It is none of your affair. I came here," she added to Nynaeve, "because I did not want to be alone. They saw me and followed. They would not take no for an answer."
"Wouldn't they?" Nynaeve said flatly.
"But it is our affair, sister," Galad said. "Your safety is very much our affair." He looked at Egwene, and she felt her heart jump. "The safety of all of you is very important to me, to us."
"I'm not your sister," Elaine snapped.
"If you want company," Gawain told Elaine with a smile, "we can do as well as any. And after what we went through just to be here, we deserve some explanation of where you've been. I would rather let Galad thump me all over the practice yard all day than face Mother again for a single minute. I'd rather have Cullen mad at me." Cullen was master of arms and kept a tight discipline among the young men who came to train at the White Tower, whether they aspired to become warders or just to learn from them. "Deny the connection if you will," Galad told Elaine gravely, "but it is still there, and Mother put your safety in our hands." Gawain grimaced. "She'll have our hides, Elaine, if anything happens to you. We had to talk fast, or she'd have hauled us back home with her. I have never heard of a queen sending her own sons to the headsman, but Mother sounded ready to make an exception if we don't bring you home safely."
"I am sure," Elaine said, "that your fast talk was all for me. None of it was meant to let you stay here studying with the warders."
Gawain's face reddened. "Your safety was our first concern." Galad sounded as if he meant it, and Egwene was sure he did. "We managed to convince Mother that if you did return here, you would need someone to look after you."
"Look after me?" Elaine exclaimed, but Galad went on smoothly.
"The White Tower has become a dangerous place. There have been deaths, murders, with no real explanations. Even some Aes Sedai have been killed, though they have tried to keep that quiet. And I have heard rumors of the Black Aja, spoken in the tower itself. By Mother's command, when it is safe for you to leave your training, we are to return you to Camelin." For answer, Elaine lifted her chin and half turned away from him. Gawain ran a hand through his hair in frustration.
"Light, Nynaeve, Galad and I are not villains. All we want to do is help. We would do it anyway, but Mother commanded it,
so there's no chance of you talking us out of it."
"Morghese's commands carry no weight in Tar Valon," Nynaeve said in a level voice. "As for your offer of help, I will remember it. Should we need help, you will be among the first to hear of it. For now, I wish you to leave." She gestured pointedly to the door, but he ignored her.
"That is all very well, but Mother will want to know Elaine has come back, and why she ran off without a word, and what she was doing these months. Light, Elaine, the whole tower was in a turmoil. Mother was half crazed with fear. I thought she'd tear the tower down with her bare hands."
Elaine's face took on a measure of guilt, and Gawain pressed his advantage. "You owe her that much, Elaine. You owe me that much. Burn me, you're being as stubborn as stone. You've been gone for months, and all I know about it is that you've run afoul of Shiriam, and the only reasons I know that much are because you've been crying and you won't sit down."
Elaine's indignant stare said he had squandered whatever momentary advantage he might have had.
"Enough," Nynaeve said. Galad and Gawain opened their mouths. She raised her voice.
"I said enough."
She glared at them until it was clear their silence would hold, then went on.
"Elaine owes the two of you nothing. Since she chooses to tell you nothing, that is that. Now this is my room, not the common room of an inn, and I want you out of it."
"But Elaine," Gawain began at the same time that Galad said, "we only want—" Nynaeve spoke loudly enough to drown them out.
"I doubt you asked permission to enter the accepted's quarters."
They stared at her, looking surprised.
"I thought not. You will be out of my room, out of my sight, before I count three, or I will write a note to the Master of Arms about this. Cúlainn Gaidin has a much stronger arm than Shiriam Sedai, and you may be assured that I will be there to see he makes a proper job of it."
"Nynaeve, you wouldn't," Gawain began worriedly, but Galad motioned him to silence and stepped closer to Nynaeve. Her face kept its stern expression, but she unconsciously smoothed the front of her dress as he smiled down at her. Egwene was not surprised. She did not think she had met a woman outside the Red Aja who would not be affected by Galad's smile.
"I apologize, Nynaeve, for our forcing ourselves on you unwanted," he said smoothly. "We will go, of course. But remember that we are here if you need us. And whatever caused you to run away, we can help with that as well."
Nynaeve returned his smile.
"One," she said.
Galad blinked, his smile fading. Calmly he turned to Egwene. Gawain got up and started for the door.
"Egwene," Galad said, "you know that you especially can call on me at any time for anything. I hope you know that."
"Two," Nynaeve said.
Galad gave her an irritated look. "We will talk again," he told Egwene, bowing over her hand. With a last smile, he took an unhurried step toward the door.
"Thrrr!" Gawain darted through the door, and even Galad's graceful stride quickened markedly.
"Ree!"
Nynaeve finished, as the door banged shut behind them. Elaine clapped her hands delightedly.
"Oh, well done," she said. "Very well done. I did not even know men were forbidden the accepted's quarters, too."
"They aren't," Nynaeve said dryly, "but those louts did not know it either."
Elaine clapped her hands again and laughed.
"I'd have let them just leave," Nynaeve added, "if Galad had not made such a show of his taking his time about it. That young man has too fair a face for his own good." Egwene almost laughed at that. Galad was no more than a year younger than Nynaeve, if that, and Nynaeve was straightening her dress again.
"Galad," Elaine sniffed. "He'll bother us again, and I do not know whether your trick will work more than once. He does what he sees as right, no matter who it hurts, even himself."
"Then I will think of something else," Nynaeve said. "We can't afford to have them looking over our shoulders all the time. Elaine, if you wish, I can make a salve that will soothe you."
Elaine shook her head, then lay down across the bed with her chin in her hands. "If Shiriam found out, we would no doubt both have yet another visit to her study to look forward to. You have not said very much, Egwene. Cat got your tongue?"
Her expression became grimmer.
"Or perhaps Galad has."
Egwene blushed in spite of herself.
"I simply did not choose to argue with them," she said in as dignified a tone as she could manage. "Of course," Elaine said grudgingly. "I will admit that Galad is good-looking. But he is horrid, too. He always does right as he sees it. I know that does not sound horrid, but it is. He has never disobeyed Mother, not in the smallest thing that I know of. He will not tell a lie, even a small one, or break a rule. If he turns you in for breaking one, there isn't the slightest spite in it. He seems sad you could not live up to his standards, if anything, but that doesn't change the fact that he will turn you in."
"That sounds uncomfortable," Egwene said carefully, "but not horrid. I cannot imagine Galad doing anything horrid."
Elaine shook her head, as if in disbelief that Egwene found it so hard to see what was clear to her. "If you want to pay attention to someone, try Gawain. He is nice enough most of the time, and he's besotted with you."
"Gawain? He has never looked at me twice."
"Of course not, you fool, the way you stare at Galad until your eyes look ready to fall out of your face." Egwene's cheeks felt hot, but she was afraid it might well be true.
"Galad saved his life when Gawain was a child," Elaine went on. "Gawain will never admit he is interested in a woman if Galad is interested in her, but I've heard him talk about you, and I know. He never could hide things from me."
"That is nice to know," Egwene said, then laughed at Elaine's grin. "Perhaps I can get him to say some of those things to me instead of you."
"You could choose Green, Aja, you know. Green sisters sometimes marry. Gawain truly is besotted, and you would be good for him. Besides, I would like to have you for a sister."
"If you two are finished with girlish chatter," Nynaeve cut in, "there are important matters to talk about."
"Yes," Elaine said. "Such as what the Ammerlin seat had to say to you after I left."
"I would rather not talk about that," Egwene said awkwardly. She did not like lying to Elaine. She did not say anything that was pleasant.
Elaine gave a sniff of disbelief.
"Most people think I get off easier than the others because I am daughter-heir of Andor. The truth is that if anything, I catch it harder than the rest because I'm daughter-heir. Neither of you did anything I did not, and if the Ammerlin had harsh words for you, she would have twice as harsh for me. Now, what did she say?"
"You must keep this just between us three," Nynaeve said. "The Black Aja..."
"Nynaeve!" Egwene exclaimed. "The Ammerlin said Elaine was to be left out of it."
"The Black Aja!"
Elaine almost shouted, scrambling up to kneel in the middle of the bed. "You cannot leave me out after telling me this much. I won't be left out."
"I never meant for you to be," Nynaeve assured her.
Egwene could only stare at her in amazement.
"Egwene, it was you and I who Leandrin saw as a threat. It was you and I who were just nearly killed."
"Nearly killed?" Elaine whispered.
"Perhaps because we are still a threat, and perhaps because they already know that we were closeted alone with the Ammerlin, and even what she told us. We need someone with us who they do not know about, and if she isn't known to the Ammerlin either, so much the better. I'm not sure we can trust the Ammerlin much further than the Black Aja. She means to use us for her own ends. I mean to see she doesn't use us up. Can you understand that?"
Egwene nodded reluctantly. "Just the same," she said, "it will be dangerous, Elaine. As dangerous as anything we faced in Falma. Maybe more so. You do not have to be part of it this time."
"I know that," Elaine said quietly. She paused, then went on. "When Andor goes to war, the First Prince of the Sword commands the army, but the Queen rides with them too. 700 years ago, at the Battle of Qualen Den, the Andor men were being routed when Queen Modrilaine rode, alone and unarmed, carrying the Lion Banner into the midst of the Tyran army. The Andor men rallied and attacked once more to save her and won the battle. That is the kind of courage expected of the Queen of Andor. If I have not learned to control my fear yet, I must before I take my mother's place on the Lion throne."
Suddenly her somber mood vanished in a giggle. "Besides, do you think I would pass up an adventure so I could scrub pots?"
"You will do that anyway," Nynaeve told her, "and hope that everyone thinks that is all you are doing. Now listen carefully."
Elaine listened, and her mouth slowly dropped open as Nynaeve unfolded what the Ammerlin seat had told them, and the task she had laid on them, and the attempt on their lives. She shivered over the Grey Man and read the document the Ammerlin had given Nynaeve with a look of wonder, then returned it, murmuring, I wish I could have that when I face Mother next.
By the time Nynaeve finished, though, her face was a picture of indignation.
Why, that's like being told to go up in the hills and find lions, only you do not know whether there are any lions, but if there are, they may be hunting you, and they may be disguised as bushes. Oh, and if you find any lions, try not to let them eat you before you can tell where they are.
If you are afraid, Nynaeve said, you can still stand aside. It will be too late once you've begun.
Elaine tossed her head back. Of course I am afraid. I'm not a fool. But not afraid enough to quit before I have even started.
There is something else, too, Nynaeve said.
I'm afraid the Armalyn may mean to let Matt die.
But an Aes Sedai is supposed to heal anyone who asks.
The daughter heir seemed caught between indignation and disbelief.
Why would she let Matt die? I cannot believe it. I will not.
Nor can I, Egwene gasped. She could not have meant that. The Armalyn couldn't let him die.
All the way here, Varin said that the Armalyn would see he was healed.
Nynaeve shook her head.
Varin said the Armalyn would see to him. That is not the same thing. And the Armalyn avoided saying yes or no when I asked her. Maybe she has not made her mind up.
But why? Elaine asked.
Because the White Tower does what it does for its own reasons.
Nynaeve's voice made Egwene shiver.
I do not know why. Whether they help Matt live or let him die depends on what serves their ends. None of the three oaths say they have to heal him. Matt is just a tool in the Armalyn's eyes. So are we. She will use us to hunt the Black Adja, but if you break a tool so it cannot be fixed, you don't weep over it. You just get another one. Both of you had best remember that.
What are we going to do about him? Egwene asked. What can we do?
Nynaeve went to her wardrobe and rummaged in the back of it. When she came out, she had a striped cloth bag of herbs. With my medicines and luck, perhaps I can heal him myself.
Varin could not, Elaine said. Moiraine and Varin together could not, and Moiraine had an Angreal.
Nynaeve, if you draw too much of the one power, you could burn yourself to a cinder. Or just still yourself if you are lucky, if you can call that luck.
Nynaeve shrugged.
They keep telling me I have the potential to be the most powerful Aes Sedai in 1,000 years. Perhaps it is time to find out whether they are right.
She gave a tug to her braid.
It was plain that however brave Nynaeve's words, she was afraid. But she won't let Matt die, even if it means risking death herself.
They keep saying we're all three so powerful, or will be. Maybe if we all try together, we can divide the flow among us.
We have never tried working together, Nynaeve said slowly. I am not sure I know how to combine our abilities. Trying could be almost as dangerous as drawing too much of the power.
Oh, if we are going to do it, Elaine said, climbing off the bed, let's do it. The longer we talk of it, the more frightened I will become. Matt is in the guest rooms. I do not know which one, but Shiriam told me that much.
As if to put period to her words, the door banged open, and an Aes Sedai entered as though it were her room, and they the interlopers. Egwene made her curtsy deep to hide the dismay on her face.